perhaps we need to look a little closer, because there's nobody who cares more for your needs in your life than Jesus Christ. No one. We can say, and we can at least try to attempt to express to our families how much we care for them, but we can know for a fact no one cares for us better than God through His Son Jesus. Can I get an amen on that, church? Amen. Hey, last Sunday I mentioned to you, I kind of gave you a little teasing question to say, if you knew that Jesus was coming back in 3 weeks, maybe you make that 2 weeks since 1 week has passed, but if you knew Christ was coming back in 2 weeks, what would be different about your life? How would you live differently? How would you think and talk and places you go and just the operation of your life? How would that be different? And I kind of said parenthetically on the side, I hope it wouldn't be any different at all, because I hope we're living as though He's coming every day. But I know that's not valid for most all of us. We have to be reminded that He could come anytime, because we forget. We get caught up in the life that we're living. We get caught up in the activities of our life, of the plans that we're making. We get caught up in that. And so because of that, we sometimes forget that Jesus could return at the snap of a moment, at the blink of an eye. He could return, and then all that would be over. All your plans, the best laid plans that you've made, would just kind of be useless, because you wouldn't care, obviously, if you're a believer, because you'd be with the Father. Now, I want to tell you that as we think about that, I want to talk to you a little bit about the coming of the Lord and how important that is for us as believers, and how important it is to be ready for that day when He comes. But before we do, let me just ask you, if you will, to take your Bibles and turn with me to the 24th chapter of Matthew. We're going to look at verse 36 and verse 41. We may go even beyond that a bit, at least go down to the 44th verse. But in either case, let me ask you to stand together so as we read these words, we're honoring the Word too, okay? Now, in my Bible, these words are written in red. How about yours? Okay. Now, concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son. Or, I'll just go ahead and say, He says, nor myself, He says, doesn't know. Except the Father only. As the days of Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. For in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and until the day Noah boarded the ark. They didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. So, this is the way the coming of the Son of Man will be. When two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, be alert, since you don't know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, if the homeowner had known what time the thief was coming, you get this? He would have stayed alert and not let his house be broken into. This is why you also must be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. God bless the reading of His Word, and the reading as well as your hearing. Let's bow together for prayer. You can be seated. Father, we thank You for giving us these moments we can look into Your Word. We love You, Lord. We pray that as we look into Your Word, that there might be responses based on Your Word and the moving of Your Spirit. We are Your children. We love You, Lord. We want to just express our desire to be with You for eternity. And at the same time, realizing that we don't know when that will take place. May this message place an urgency in our hearts to tell somebody about Your urgent return, so that they also may be ready by trusting in You as Savior. Bless the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right then. Thank you for standing as we read the Scriptures and as we look into God's Word together. A lot of things are happening, of course, you know, on a big scale. They have been for the last 20 years. Earthquakes all over the place. My goodness, we've got earthquakes, I think, from July the 9th till about the 12th of July. There were 11 earthquakes in California. And probably more than that, many of them on a 4.1 magnitude. So a lot of things happening there in that state and underground, and folks being concerned. If you saw any of the news on the internet, you've probably seen some videos of people who were taking videos of all that taking place, houses shaking, swimming pools look like it's an ocean with waves going, all of that because of earthquakes. Of course, we understand hurricanes. We've been about that for a long time. Barry has been threatening to do a lot of damage there in Louisiana. I think Barry now has, from a 1 magnitude, gone down to a tropical storm. But a lot of water has still been there. And you would think that for sure, that because of that low-lying area there, Louisiana, New Orleans, and all that, that they'd be ready for that. But some aren't. They still seem to get caught off guard when that takes place. You know, if you remember back in 2004, 2011, back in those times when these major tsunamis were striking the eastern area of our world and just making havoc and killing people by thousands and thousands and thousands, it was a devastating time. Of course, there they couldn't have the warning systems that we might have in a more affluent place where we live. About $150 million for a warning system like that. Those small countries don't have that. So they find themselves destroyed and or certainly in a position where they'll be building back for a very, very long time. I read some information about that time, of course, when the tsunamis took place and the horror that took place in Japan and the destruction that took place there. It's just a scene from a movie, almost. And you look at the pictures and see these countries that have been devastated by this. I heard that an island, because of the tectonic plates that shifted, that the island of Sumatra was shifted over 100 feet just by the earthquake that took place underneath the Indian Ocean. It was just a difficult time. It still is. We see that happening over and over again, from floods to fires and so on. All of that kind of disturbs us, but yet we have to understand something about it. God says this is going to take place. We don't need to be so surprised by it, because the Word of God tells us these things would take place. If you look in that same chapter 24 of Matthew, go to verse number 7, if you will. I want to read these couple of verses here that might be helpful to us as we look at this. Verse 7 says, "For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Is that happening? Of course it is. "There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these events are the beginning of birth pains." We understand that these things would take place. We don't have to be surprised. What would surprise the world, of course, is the great surprise when Jesus returns. We don't have to be surprised about that either, because he's told us that more so than countries that are told about earthquakes that are coming, or hurricanes that are coming, or tornadoes and that sort of thing. We understand, because of the Word of God, that these things would be happening. But we also understand that Christ would be returning. The passage that we talked and read this morning tells us about Jesus saying, "Be ready, get set." All these things that are taking place, because just as in the days of Noah, so are in the days that Jesus Christ will return. How are we going to live differently, knowing that it could come any time? That the things are set for his return. How different will you be? Where will you be caught? Where would you like to be caught when Jesus returned? What about last week, the things you did in your life? The things you watched? The places you were? The speech that you had? The conversations you were involved in? Would we want to be in that situation, knowing that Jesus could return at any moment? I think not. We might look at our situation and say, you know what? I'm going to change and live differently based on the fact that Christ could return at any moment. How do we know that? Because he said he would. He says at any moment, and the time is ripe, just as in the days of Noah. Well, if you want to take it with me and go to chapter 6 of Genesis. Chapter 6 of Genesis. And read with me verses, starting at verse number 5. Anybody there? Chapter 6 of Genesis. Let me read this for you. It says, "When the Lord saw that man's wickedness was widespread on the earth, and that every scheme his mind thought of was nothing but evil all the time." Folks, think about this world today. Think about what's going on today. Think about the circumstance of every movie you watch when you go to the theater. Can you is there a clean movie out there today, besides perhaps a Disney show? They're all fraught with cussing and just all sorts of vile language and everything that we as believers ought not be a part of. But listen to this. He's describing where we are today. He says, the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Verse 70. Then the Lord said, I will wipe off the face of the earth man whom I created, together with the animals, creatures that crawl, and birds of the sky, for I regret that I made them. Noah, however, found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, in the days of Noah, as the passage read that we looked at in this 24th chapter, that the days that Noah lived, there was all sorts of vile living. People were so far from God, even to the point that it did what? It grieved the heart of God. Let me tell you something. You don't grieve over somebody unless you love them. When you grieve over somebody, when they've broken you so deeply, you ever had somebody break your heart so hard, so deeply, but you still love them, you still cared for them, it grieves your heart. You ever had a child or a friend who went so far from the things that they should be doing for Christ, and it grieved your heart? That's because you love them. The style of living that they were in the day of Noah and today grieves the heart of God. Why? Because he loves us so much. And even to the point that God said to Noah, I regret that I even made man. That blows my mind. I'm wondering, how many times has God said the same thing today? That he regrets making us in the way that we live. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I mean, I am in church, and I do go to church, and I do have a Bible, and all those sort of things that we think give us brownie points with God. And yet when we look at our lives and we think of all the things that we're not doing that he's called us to do, we have to know that our lives grieve God. He breaks for us. He says, as was in the day of Noah, so is the coming of the Son of Man. We're just at the same place that Noah and his people were. You know what happened, of course, right? Because, you know, Noah did a lot of warning to the people. He was telling them over and over again about God coming. I'm gonna give you a comparison that we have here in these verses. In verse 36 and 37, there was a comparison Jesus made. He says, now, concerning that day and hour, no one, neither the angels in heaven know, or the Son, except the Father, as the days of Noah were, as the coming of the Son of Man will be. The comparison is today with the time of Noah, described as ungodly. The people in Noah's time were described as vile, irreverent, and ungodly. Day when Noah lived, people were filled with violence and filled with wickedness. They didn't want God in their lives. They didn't want to listen to God. They had no desire to be a part of anything spiritual or righteous or holy. And men lived for evil, and their thoughts were evil all the time. God was determined to destroy them from the face of the earth. That was his plan. Wipe them out. However, there was one. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God for Noah, who was a godly man, who lived for God. Verse 6 says in our passage in Genesis that God regretted making man, and he was grieved in his heart. God, who has a relationship with us, his heart is broken when we don't serve him. His heart is broken when we don't live for him. When we don't read his love letters, his heart is broken. When we don't come to his church and worship with his people, his heart is broken. Jesus tells us that the last days will be just like those days that were in Noah. And we're seeing this prophecy coming true, for sure. Wickedness, evil, all the time. Did you know that the porn industry, that the industry of pornography is a $60 billion a year industry? $60 billion. That's more than every major television network together. $60 billion. Did you know that per year, now this is changing some, thanks be to God, but there's about 1.5 million abortions performed every year. Let me clarify that to you. In this country alone, 1.5 million. Not worldwide, but in this country alone. Now, thank God for legislators and governors and those who have the ability to see what's happened to our nation is helping to curtail much of that in the abortions that have been so rampant. God is changing that, and we're so grateful, of course, that. There's a lot of perversions that go along with that. You think about all the people in this nation who are having to view on their own televisions. You don't even have to go to a movie theater to see perversion. You can see it in the privacy of your own home. What does that tell us? That as it was in the days of Noah, so it is today and will be in the coming of the Lord. We haven't discussed some of the twin, I guess, evils or tragedies that are rampant today for sure, and that's alcohol and drugs that take over so many people's lives and destroy lives, not just individual lives, but that destroy families and homes and jobs and churches. All of that destroys, as it was in the day of Noah, the comparison Jesus was making, so it will be at the day of the coming of the Lord. So it is now. So his coming is now. The wickedness of man is great in the earth, and every imagination, God said to Noah, of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. But now, there's a complacency that Jesus mentions here that you may be a part of sometimes in your life. Complacency means you just don't care. We just, ho-hum through it all. And because we've heard so much on the news and reports and so on about the wickedness of this world, and as believers, it breaks our heart to see that. We're sad when that takes place, especially when it affects our own personal family. But we become complacent. And because of that, and complacency, by the way, breeds complacency. If we're complacent, someone else will become complacent just by watching how we react to it, because we become their model or their example. In verse 38-39, he says here, I love this, because for in those days before the flood, they were just eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah boarded the ark. Just everything, life was the same. Nothing changed. Nothing changed about them. They didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. So this is the way the coming of the Son of Man will be. Can you imagine? They didn't know. You know how long it took Noah to build that ark? 120 years. Hey Jeff, that's a lot of nail driving. 120 years. I can almost think that some of that we brought a rock to the process and replace some of it. I don't know. I'm just thinking, But 120 years that Noah was preaching that, folks, you better board this thing because the flood is coming. Flood? Rain? What? You don't know. And he preached over and over again that the end was near. And it says there in the verse 39, they didn't know. How could they have not known? Because they were complacent in their own lives. They didn't care. And by the way, if the only one that was telling them was Noah, they didn't get a whole lot of repetition. Because the rest of the world was just evil always, constantly, always. So Noah was one crackpot building this crazy boat out in the desert saying that a flood is coming. So they had no clue what in the world he was talking about. Because they did not even know. Now, it takes place sometimes even now as we think about some earthquakes and floods and hurricanes and so on, that some places around the world don't know when they're coming. We can know. We have a lot of warning systems here in our country, of course. But I think perhaps, even now, we have warning systems in other countries that don't have the blaring horns. I understand that animals are pretty smart. And they can tell you what's coming. I read a story one time where on a beach that there was a little girl. She was 10 years old, and because of her study in school, she was from England, but she was on an Asian beach, and she had seen the water recede way out, and she remembered saying that that's a sign of a tsunami coming. And so she warned the people about that and saved, because of that, 100 people from being drowned, because they left that beach and went to higher ground and was not affected by the tsunami, because she saw that. So she had a warning sign. But back to animals. Because they have a second sense as well. What is it when it's going to rain, cows lay down, or I don't know, do something kind of weird. What do they do, Carly? Cows do. Look up in the sky when it's going to rain. I don't know. But something. Animals do something.
Hide under the
trees. Hide under the trees. Okay. Yeah. Or in a pavilion or something. But I read a story one time where some children were riding on an elephant's back. It was just a ride they were doing and for cost. And because when this tsunami was about to take place, the animals knew it. And the elephants broke their chains and went to higher ground. And with the children still on their backs, and saved the children. Because they knew it was coming. But we're knuckleheads. We're hardheads. We can see signs like that, and yet we don't heed them ourselves. Some of the signs that we can see is when a father who's drug addicted destroys his family, and we see that, and yet we'll go the same way, not thinking a second thought about it. We've been warned because we see the life. So, Noah was the one who was telling them, but the people are so complacent. There are a lot of tsunamis, kinds of warnings for us as believers, and you are one of those. You are to be a speaker for God, telling people about Christ, saying it's time to get ready. But if you don't, they won't. If we don't tell them about Christ, who will? And if we don't tell them now, then when will they be told? So part of the warning system is us ourselves. And if we don't tell them, and Christ comes and they're lost because we didn't tell them, guess what? That's on us as believers. That's why it's important that we become a voice for Christ, and we become disciplers who not only take the gospel to someone and tell them about Christ, but we grow them as believers so that they can too tell someone else about Jesus. It becomes that multiplication process where we reduplicate ourselves over and over again as believers. Verse 39 says that they didn't know until it was too late. But sometimes we're as complacent. We're as complacent not even want to tell somebody about the fact that Christ is coming. Preachers are still preaching, but people aren't listening. Singers are still singing, but people aren't listening. God has His early warning system in place, and we are it. We're the ones who have to tell them that Christ is coming. Now, not for the sake that they trust in Christ, just for the sake of the fact that Jesus is coming. We know that, because if we don't tell them and He does, it's too late. Everlastingly too late. We know that. We don't want it to be too late for them. We want them to trust in Christ now. And, I think a good example that, Monica, if I may use, as what you said today, had someone told you when you were 10 or 12, perhaps, or somehow took the time to help you understand what it was all about. Because sometimes you tell children, but you don't explain to them what it's all about on their level to know that perhaps you could have avoided some things. Perhaps you'd have been a believer for all those years, perhaps, and grown even stronger in your faith, perhaps. Because someone didn't tell you. Someone did not have you on their radar. God had you on His radar. When He led somebody to tell you about Christ, He had you on their radar. And somebody was faithful and obedient in going to you and telling you about Christ. Well, who's on yours? If Jesus, and we knew it, was coming back in 2 weeks, who would be on your radar? Who would be the person you would rush to and tell them about Christ so they could invite Him into their heart and become believers? Who is that person? There ought to be a list that won't stop in your life and in your mind today. As I'm saying these words, names should be just a ticker tape going in your brain, listing off the names of people. That if I knew that Jesus was coming back in 2 weeks, I would make sure I gave a clear testimony about Christ to this one person or these 10 people. You say, but the reason you don't have a list, the reason you don't have that ticker tape of numbers, is because you don't know that Jesus is coming back in 2 weeks. We don't know that. That's why we have to live as though He is coming back in 2 weeks, or tomorrow, or next week. Jesus mentions a catastrophe here in verses 39 to 41 that we read about, of course. And if you will, look at that passage with me. He says here in 39, they didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. So this is the way the coming of the Son of the Man will be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one left. Therefore, he says clearly, be alert, since you don't know what day your Lord is coming. There's the rule for us. Why should we be so concerned? Because you don't know. So always be alert. Now, you as believers don't have to be alert that He's coming, that you might miss it. That's not what He's saying. He's saying be alert to know that there are those who don't know. As Noah preached for those many years about the flood coming and their lives being destroyed, who are you alert about? Who are you concerned about that doesn't know Christ? Who is it that you need to tell about Jesus who will be swept away unless you have? I'll tell you, the tsunamis and all that took place so many times in so many lands, thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who lost their lives. There are thousands of people who did not know about Christ who went into eternity. We read of wars and pestilences and all those things that are taking place, a death on an unprecedented scale that's taking place even now around the world, tells us things are ripe. Things are ready for the Lord to come. Are we doing what we ought to do to tell them about Christ? If you knew He was coming in 2 weeks, how different would you live? How urgent would there be in your heart to tell someone about Christ? The only way to avoid the events, I think, perhaps the catastrophe in their life of being swept away for anyone is to receive Christ. And you know that's the only salvation that they can have is in Jesus. For there's no other name that a person can be saved but through Jesus Christ. That being the case, He is the one we should be talking about. Did I mention that I love Him? That I worship and adore Him? Yeah. Well, I could find no way. I found that He was the only way. And so this is what should be an urgency in your heart and mind, to tell somebody about Jesus that He loves Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. Listen to this. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the church, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. If you're saved by grace, if Christ is your Lord, you have heeded the warning of Noah's voice, as it were, back then. And today, you've already heeded that warning, and you're safe from the wrath of God. Aren't you glad to know that you are? But did you know that there are persons after persons after persons you come in contact with every day who doesn't know that it's coming? They've heard it. They've seen it. There's no reason why anybody in this world should not know about Jesus or His coming, because there are too many religious outlets for them to hear that. But because they're complacent and lost, they're not listening. If we were building this pavilion this past week, and everybody had the skill level that I had in building the pavilion, I wouldn't listen to what they said in council as to how to do this and how to do that. I wanted to listen to people who knew what they were talking about, who had already been through the process and learned how to measure and how to cut and how to drive and what angles should be there and so on. That's who I wanted to listen to. Just as it is for you, for people to listen to what you're saying about Christ, they have to know you've been there. That you've already been through the process of trusting in Christ. And then they'll listen. Make it known that you're a believer, that you love them and you have a burden for their heart, and see if we can't get more folks ready for the return of Christ. What will you be doing for the next 2 weeks in preparation for His coming?